Morning, everyone. My name is Douglas Cook. I'm at New York University in Abu Dhabi, which is a long ways from here, and we have very little agriculture there. But I'm an engineer, and we've been working on stock lodging and trying to bring an engineering perspective to this problem that is kind of a pesky old problem for everyone who works with maize and sorghum and some of these plants. We also have collaborators at University of Idaho and Clemson University. So let me tell you a little bit about this. Our hypothesis that we went into this study was that stock strength is primarily determined by morphology, not by chemical composition. And that might go contrary to maybe what some of you think. And so let me tell you a little bit about that. We did a study here in the Journal of Experimental Botany. It was a simulation where we created a computational model of a corn stalk. And when we did that, what we found is that the shape of the stalk would have a bigger influence on the stresses than the material. And then when we did some studies in the lab, we found that that morphology, and this was just published in Crop Science this year, morphology predicts strength really, really well, about 80% of the variation in strength. So that's where we got this hypothesis, and let's see what happened. We did is we took a set of 100 maize stalks. These are commercial hybrids, and we tested them with a bending test, a three-point bending test, and that gives us the stalk strength. We load it until it breaks, and then we also did CT scanning, which gives us really detailed morphological information, and we can correlate those. That's the information that was already published in Crop Science, but then now what we've added is we've added stalk-specific composition data. And that's important because I'll talk a little bit about later, if you look only at the plot level, some of the important variation is wiped out. This was done by Steve Kresovich's lab in Clemson. Let me just mention before I go on a little bit about morphology. So we use an engineering term called the section modulus. And this is an equation that we use in engineering for analyzing beams, anything that's a structure in bending. So this is the stress, this is the load that's applied, and this is what's called the section modulus. It's really the second moment of area. I can tell you a little bit more about it later if you're interested, but it quantifies shape. And so when we looked at a set of 1,000 stalks, what we found is that section modulus indeed was the best predictor of strength. All of these are morphological measurements, and they're all related and co-vary with each other, but section modulus is the best. So now we took a subset of 100 stalks, and for this subset of 100 stalks, which is the data I'll be telling you about today, the R-squared between section modulus and strength was 0.88. So you can see it's a very, very strong predictor of strength. So now let's look at composition data. If we look at cellulose, total cellulose in grams versus stalk strength, very high correlation, also with lignin. The problem, and this, you know, this has been published in the literature before, the problem is this is total amount of material, and so if we normalize according to mass, these relationships fall apart. But we would expect that there's got to be some relationship between composition and strength, and so what we try to do is try to find out if we subtract the amount of variation that can be explained by shape, by morphology, from the engineering mechanics, now we can do regression and find of the variance that's left, can we predict any of that with composition data? So this is the model I'm starting with. The section modulus is predicting about 88% of the variation in strength. And so if we start with that model and they do a partial, what's called a partial R-squared value, which is how much of the variance that's left can be predicted with individual factors, here are the results, and they're kind of just a random mess. But if you look down here, you can see that only about 10%, even in the best case, really not a lot of variation can be additionally explained with this composition data. And these control values you see down here at the bottom of the screen, those are just random numbers as a reference. If I just have random numbers, you know, something like 2% I could explain just with noise. So really only something above the 2.5. And when you look at what those are above the 2.5, the water-soluble sugars, protein, and ash, I mean, I don't think that ash is a strong predictor of strength. The things that we would think of as being predictive of strength just don't show up here. Okay, this seems kind of puzzling, right? So, and actually if I add in these four parameters all together in a whole, in one more additional multi-regression model, I only get a 0.6 improvement. So it's not great. So, I mean, this is like a little puzzling, right? We think that composition should be related to strength. So let's take a step back here. Well, the model that we're working with is this idea that composition relates to mechanical tissue properties, and that's going to relate to structural properties. And there's data from the literature that shows that same kind of idea, that cellulose and strength are related. But here's the engineering explanation for this is that microstructure really, really matters. If I give you a bunch of carbon, you can make diamonds or you can make graphite. And graphite is pretty crummy, and diamonds are one of the strongest materials we know, both in stiffness, and they've got very different densities. So the material isn't sometimes as important as the way we organize it. Because I'm an engineer, here's a little slide about steel. Steel, you can take the same amount of steel, the same material of steel, depending on how you heat treat it, you get very different behaviors. You can get different colors of steel depending on the heat treatment, and you can see that the microstructure changes quite a lot. Well, that's also true in the wood literature. So there's a lot of really great literature on wood and lumber where they've connected, I think, better the cellulose through these microfibrils and all the way up to the cell wall. And what they found in the wood literature is that the microfibril angle, the angle that those fibers are oriented, has a big influence on strength. The two factors that they find in wood that are most predictive is density, which is really how much material have you got, and then how is that material organized. That's the microfibril angle. And, I mean, just as one more illustration, if I give you either carbon fiber or fiberglass, you know, you can make this material or you can make that material, and they don't behave at all the same way. So what we're proposing is a much more complicated model. Here's that simple model that I think is we've all been thinking of. But here's a more complicated model. In this model, what we have is that at every level, as you go up in scale through the material, you have a morphology factor and you've got mechanical or material properties factors. And so let's just start here at the cell wall. Well, molecules combine and give you cell wall material properties. But the morphology of the cell wall with the material properties combines to give you how the cell is going to behave. And then the shapes of the cell combined with its material properties tell you how the tissue is going to behave, and so on and so forth. So what we've seen is that we're starting up here at the top end, 88% of the variation. If I know the morphology of the organ, I can predict the strength of that organ. And then when I take the composition data, which looks kind of like not a lot of great predictability, it's because we're going all the way from chemistry down here to stock strength up there, and there's all these steps in between that are really quite complicated, and so we really need some more research, I think, on all these different stages. I mean, we could have several studies on every single one of these arrows. And so I guess that's the conclusion today, is that, you know, these things we believe are related, but we need to look a little more focused. Instead of trying to go all the way from chemistry to strength, it's just too far, too many things in between. And that's the big end. That's the big story. One more thing that I just wanted to mention is that when we've looked at stock level and plot level data, as engineers, we like to look at individual specimens, and when we look at plot level data and stock level data, we see huge differences. And I know this isn't always practicable for some of your studies, but we see big differences. So here's the regression at the individual stock level, but when you average across a plot, sometimes it just, you know, everything gets washed away. So that's just something to keep in mind. This happens when we get plot level composition data. Sometimes it doesn't reveal things when I think it might. So conclusions: morphology has a big effect on stock strength. The section modulus, in our opinion, is the best way to quantify size. Other people have used just total stock mass or mass for a 5-centimeter segment. Section modulus is based on physics of the structure, and so that's the best way to normalize for size. But really, the big story is we need more research about all these little interactions that go on, And if you're at a university where there's an engineering department, material scientists and mechanical engineers are often doing a lot of this work on those in little intervals. And just last, this little note, plot level averaging can sometimes remove some important information. If you're interested in stock strength, there's more presentations at the conference by people from my group. And we have devices now that are field ready and been field tested and are performing quite well. And so you're welcome to come talk to us. We're open to collaborating if you're interested in quantifying stock strength. And I'll just end with acknowledgments from our collaborators and funding agencies. Lots of time.
So, Doug, I have a question about your plot level measurements versus your individual plan. What is a plot level measurement when you're using this equipment? Is that averaging?
Yeah, averaging. If we take plants and we average across a plot, and we just take one average for the plot instead of the...
How many plants is
that? That one was 10, I think. Okay. 5 or 10. But there's a lot of... If you come to the field, Dan's field data presentation, I think he's going to get in, and we can get into that. There's a lot of plot level variation,
sure.
Lots and lots. And so when the morphology is highly responsive to these what it is, but you know, little things. And then when you wipe all that, when you average across that and wipe it out, then a lot of information goes out the window.
I was wondering, how much does this stock diameter play a role in this?
Oh, I can tell you exactly. Right there. If you say it's an ellipse, more or less, there's the major diameter, minor diameter. They're not bad. If you wanted to take just one measurement that is fast, that might be the easiest. And they co-vary, so the structure, you know, it just gets bigger. It doesn't seem to change. We haven't done a detailed analysis of the shape yet, but it doesn't seem to change its proportions. It just gets bigger and smaller.
Right. So a larger diameter gives you more strength, but also more weight.
Of course.
Contributes to more lodging, right? So
no.
Is that a trade-off?
That's not what we see. More, a larger stock is stronger.
Stronger.
Yeah. The weight. Its own weight is, I think, negligible. Not a problem, but the grain weight might be a problem. But
yeah, question: what if you measure plants in your stock?
For these plants, it was right at the midspan.
Okay.
When we use our field device, the field device has the benefit that it will break wherever is naturally weakest.
Okay.
So in these studies, it's obviously going to break right near that node. But that's what we did this time.
Have you seen the
mm-hmm.
If you
push the load in we have a paper in, we have two papers where we say that you shouldn't do that because what you do is you prematurely cause failure. That transverse load tends to collapse the stock. Like if you have a drinking straw and you're trying to bend it and someone pushes on it, it'll collapse. So yeah, you don't want to do that. One other thing, let me just make one comment maybe in closing. This is a limitation, I guess, just acknowledgement. These are commercial hybrids that we receive from Monsanto. It may be that there's not a lot of chemical variation in these. And so that may be one reason why we're not finding information. But in general, when you go through the literature and you look at... Sorry. This is a pretty common... kind of cascading that morphology usually that morphology arrow is usually going to be more significant than that other arrow of the two at every level, but you know, if we had more variation in our study, we might have seen some more variation instead of just this little something less than 2%. So you know, we're looking to get additional collaborators so we can get some more variation in our studies.